And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Hello and welcome in to The Cradle and the Convert, your local hour of Catholic production here on WDCR. My co-host, Mark Bartholomew, is sitting over here. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. I'll never host you again. The bill you ran up was incredible. I may be your co-host. We'll split the tab. But
there you go. And I'm Dave Slade, and I'm the cradle, and Mark is the convert. Mark, you know, I'm just confused today. The schedule on Relevant Radio and Immaculate Heart Radio is now combined.
Had some changes.
And as I drove in today to do the show, I'm hearing a new voice, Patrick Madrid.
Yes, indeed.
I've got a Patrick Madrid book right here that we refer to regularly. One of his books entitled Where Is That in the Bible?
Yes.
And it's an apologetics book. And Patrick Madrid is awesome.
Yeah, he's a brilliant guy.
He's a great show to have available here on WDCR, yes. Decatur Catholic Radio. And folks, if you haven't noticed, we've had some radio programming changes. Mark and I on The Cradle and the Convert are going to stay on Thursdays. But the regular morning schedule now, morning air starts an hour earlier at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. Patrick comes on at 9. Chuck Neff, still with The Inner Life, at 11. Heart to Heart with Mother Miriam. I listened to that yesterday, and Mother Miriam was born Jewish.
Ah.
And she converted to Christianity and ultimately Catholicism and then became a nun. And she is brilliant. I listened to her show yesterday.
That's great.
Really interesting show.
I've not had a chance to catch her yet.
Our good friend, Father Rich Simon, has moved to 1 o'clock with Father Simon Says. And as folks know, he will be our guest speaker at next year's banquet out in Mount Zion.
Yeah.
Drew Mariani still retains from 2 p.m. to 5.
His chaplet at 3.
At 3 o'clock. And everybody loves Drew. Closer Look with Sheila Logninas still at 5 o'clock. And after that, instead of playing replays of the morning shows, as we've done in the past, we have a new show called St. Joseph's Workshop with Father Matthew Spencer. He's on for an hour. Then the Terry and Jesse show. I'm glad we didn't call this the Mark and Dave show.
Yeah, me too.
But I need to tune in and listen to that. And then the final show of the day is the Joe Sikora show with Father Dave. That's a host with a priest. And then we get the EWTN News Nightly. And then after 10 o'clock, there's some overnight replays.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. And it's different. I got in the car yesterday expecting to hear the show that I normally hear at noon, which was Go Ask Your Father. And Father Monsignor Swetland will still be on most of the shows.
Right.
As a guest expert, so to speak. But I caught Sister Miriam. And or Mother Miriam, and I just thought it was great. It was different. It's going to take a little adjusting.
Sure.
We're still not sure exactly whether we're going to stay at this 9 o'clock hour.
Right.
Or, you know, normally our show plays over the rerun hour of morning air so
that you
don't miss any new programming on Relevant. So we are discussing whether we're going to stay at 9 or whether we may move to drive time at 8 a.m. And that way we'd catch people going to school and church and work and whatever. So there's lots going on with the network. We're now heard, as they say, on the network from Maine to Maui, and as I say, from Bemidji to Brownsville. The entire United States is covered by Relevant Radio, good Catholic programming, something you can't beat, folks. And if you're like me and you've tuned in, it's hard to tune out.
You know, Dave, and that's an interesting point because so many of our listeners that we run across talk to us about how important Relevant has been to them, and in particular our local programming.
Yeah.
They tune in every week. They listen faithfully to it. They enjoy it. And what perception and wisdom of the Holy Spirit there was almost 6 years ago for the founders of this concept of bringing the radio, Catholic radio, to Decatur and surrounding area. It had to be God's hand at work.
Well, you know, Mark, it with me, I started listening and then I couldn't turn it off.
Yes.
I have learned so much about my faith from Father Simon and Monsignor Sweatland.
Things we thought we knew.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then to find out that maybe we were lucky and got it right.
Some of it, yeah.
Yeah, but part of it was the reasoning we thought attributed to it wasn't the case. It was something else. I mean, it's just a
Well, you know, with shows like Patrick Madrid and Drew Mariani, you also get insight, Catholic insight on social issues.
Absolutely.
You know, from abortion and the death penalty to Obamacare and different things that you see on the news, you get this from a Catholic perspective. It's like nothing else.
Yes.
Matthew Kelly said there's genius in Catholicism, and we've seen that there's, excluding us, genius in Catholic radio.
That's for sure.
Hey, you know what, Mark? We have a special guest this morning.
I know, I'm really excited about this.
I am too. Yeah. Andre Goodnight is an actor who will portray Father Augustus Tolton in the play Tolton, from Slave to Priest, at Our Lady of Lourdes on November 9th
at 6:30
p.m. Andre is a city council member in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He is he's got a talk show, radio talk show, that he has a daily show.
Yeah, 3-hour show.
And he's traveling the country portraying Father Augustus Tolton, and we're going to talk to him a little bit about his career, how he got into acting. He's a seminarian. And he knows a lot about the faith, from what I understand.
He graduated seminary.
We're going to delve into that. We're going to talk to him about his role as Father Tolton, and we're going to talk about the play. So that'll
amazing,
be good.
Amazing individual.
Yep. And then we'll have a gospel preview and community calendar. I think we've got some community calendar stuff.
And then we need to talk about the 10 things that fire up a priest.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know, I got this from Father Erisman.
Oh, really?
He sent me a little link, and I said, this would be something we really should talk about on the radio. So we'll do that today, 10 things that really bug your priest, and maybe we'll get through to some people and even to ourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, you're listening to the Cradle and the Convert here on WDCR 88.9 and 96.5 FM, Catholic Radio for Decatur and Central Illinois. Mark and I are going to take a quick break for these messages, and we'll be right back.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and helped the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Cradle and the Convert. As promised, we have Andre Goodnight with us this morning. He is the star of the play that will be held at Our Lady of Lourdes, called the Tolton, From Slave to Priest. Andre has graduated from Carver Bible College, earning a master's degree in divinity from Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, so he knows a lot about the faith. Andre has he's been elected to the Chattanooga City Council in 2009, so he knows a lot about community and politics. Andre converted to the Catholic Church in 2010 after doing his Bible studies and realizing where the true faith lies. He's out spreading the truth. Andre won the Best Director at the Chattanooga Film Festival for a short film called Baby Steps. We'll have to ask him about that, Mark. And then he hooked up with St. Luke Productions, and that's how he went to a casting call for the play Tolton, From Slave to Priest. He has a desire for us to understand Father Tolton in a special way. And hopes that this, since Father Tolton was the first African-American priest in the United States, is from our diocese here, the Springfield Diocese, that this will also help break down some racial barriers and make the Catholic community more welcoming especially to African Americans.
Absolutely.
Andre, good morning and welcome to the Cradle and the Convert. We're so glad you're here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And where are you today, Andre?
I'm in Hesperia, California, which is an hour north of L.A.
An hour north of L.A. Well, so it's pretty early out there. Thanks for getting up and joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
We want to talk to you a little bit about your career and the play, but I'm really interested in an acting career. And I know you went to seminary and you have a deep faith. How did these two come together for you?
It actually started in high school. At the time, I was at Booker T. Washington High School performing in visual arts, located in Dallas, Texas. Nora Jones, the graduate, Nora actually is a year older than me, so she went to the school the same time I did.
Wow.
So that type of caliber of artists and musicians and actors that were going to the school. At the time, I was in visual arts. A good friend of mine was an actor, so I would hang out with him and hang out with some of his friends who were all actors. It also was very convenient because it turned out that the girl I liked at the time was also an actor. So all came together for me when I began just auditioning for some plays, and the rest kind of history.
Now, this was when you were in high school, and then you proceeded on to college, and you came to St. Louis, Missouri for seminary. Is that right?
That's correct.
And what was it that drove you to go to the seminary? I mean, as an aspiring actor, I guess having good skills in public speaking and public presentation is a great thing for a minister. Were you looking down that road at becoming a minister or at the ministry at all?
It's interesting because at that same high school, I had a friend. He was a senior. I was a sophomore at the time, and he was getting ready to graduate. So he said, Andre, you know, I read the Bible study group here, and I really believe that you are, you need to take this over. And, of course, I said, no way. I've never done anything like that in my life. I'm not interested. However, through much prayer and through his encouragement, I began to take it on in high school, sophomore, and quickly got discouraged and quit. Right about a year later, I was encouraged yet again by another student. Andre, you know, we really think that, you know, you need to give this another shot. So I did. And it turned out that it was a really a big blessing and a huge turning point in my life because God began to do some amazing things that year in regards to the number of people who were being drawn to the group, and it just began to grow and expand where we were meeting every single day, whereas in the past we were only meeting once a week. So it really began a turning point in my life where I began to see that God was indeed desiring to use me in ways greater than I had imagined, and so I began to explore more of my faith, and that's what led me to go to Bible College and Seminary.
Well, that's great. You
yeah,
know,
man, talk about divine intervention.
Yeah, exactly. And what were you, at that point in your life, Andre, what were your career goals? What did you want to do?
You know, I was wide open, to be honest with you. I just really felt that because I didn't know, or at least at the time, I really did not sense any direction per se, that the Bible college thing came about, as mentioned, because I was really interested in trying to pursue my faith. And I didn't really see myself as a minister or a preacher or someone working in a local church, but it seemed like other people did. And so people I respected and loved. And so I really began to say, you know, maybe they see something in me that I don't. So why don't I just start walking down this path, and I'm sure that God will direct me where he wants me to go. And so it kind of began happening where I just began to fall into things. Politics was one, was living in a very poor community at the time after I graduated seminary, and some individuals came up to me. And I remember one lady distinctly in Tennessee, she said, baby, I've been praying for 15 years that somebody would run for city council, and I think you're the man. Okay. Well, I tell you what, if you've been praying for 15 years, I'm going to give it a shot. And sure enough, 29 years old, beat a 20-year incumbent 3-1, first time out the gate, and everyone asked, how did you do it? That's a miracle. And I said, well, you know, there's been a lady who's been playing for 15 years. So that's
there you go.
Well, so, that's a tough life, too, being a councilman. I'm sure that takes a lot of time.
Well, having a family and really, you know, trying to be be an honest politician, a thoughtful politician, that takes a lot of effort and time. I remember Bill Clinton, the former president Bill Clinton, they asked him what the recipe for success was. He says, I don't know. He said, but I can tell you the recipe for failure. And they said, what's that? Trying to please everybody.
Yeah.
And I tell you, being in politics, definitely that will be tried. Your desire to please and your desire to want to do good will get pulled so far and so thin that it could definitely lead to some very dark places. And I know that was my story. And that's how I got led into the faith, was I just began to just come apart. Physically, emotionally, I just was not prepared for the amount of pressure that being in politics was placing on me. So I found myself one morning just at this place where I just did not believe I could go on. And the thought just came to me, Andre, why don't you go inside a Catholic church? Now, I did not know at the time that there were only three Catholic churches in the entire city of Tennessee, Chattanooga, which is where I was at the time. So Catholic churches were quite the rarity. And so I went inside one, and it was super quiet. And turned out that there was a nun there, a plainclothes nun. And I went up to her and I asked her, I said, you know, I hear everyone calling you sister. Are you a nun? She says, I am. And she had a book in her hand. And I said, well, that book doesn't look like a Bible. What are you reading? She says, I'm praying the Liturgy of the Hours. It's got me to teach you. And I said, I'm a Protestant. She says, I don't care. She said, sit down. So I did. And so she taught me to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. And I came back the next day and prayed with her. Came back the next day after that. And a month later, I found myself in RCIA, right for Catholic Initiation for Adults, and the rest was history. The following Easter, I was confirmed in the church. My wife came to the service with me. It was a beautiful Easter vigil mass. All the lights in the church went out, and the priest walked in with the Christ candle, and he lights the first candle, and that person lights the next, and it goes on throughout the church, and slowly light begins to enter the church, and they get to my wife, and they light her candle, and she starts crying.
Oh, man.
And I'm watching all of this from the front of the church. And so I'm thinking, oh, no, Andre, she's pacing and she doesn't, and she's going to tell you about it at the end of the service. And she sits at the end of the service, and she comes up to me at the front, and she's still crying. She says, Andre, when does RCIA start next year?
Oh,
and
man.
I said, I'll let you know. And so she joined the following year, her and all the babies, and they came into church the following year.
Incredible.
That's a great conversion
story. It is. It's terrific.
Well, listen, Andre, we're going to take a quick break here on The Cradle and the Convert. We're going to come back on the other side of this break, and we're going to talk about the play, Tolton, From Slave to Priest. And we're talking to Andre Goodnight here on The Cradle and the Convert, and we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back, so stay tuned. On Thursday, November 9th, you are invited to Our Lady of Lourdes Church to see St. Luke production of Tolton, From Slave to Priest.
Can't accept this colored priest.
But the Catholic Church deplores double slavery, that of the mind and that of the body.
You ain't nothing but a troublemaker.
I was a poor slave boy, but the priest of the church did not disdain me.
We want no Toltons in this place.
I shall work at it and pull at it as long as God gives me life.
Get out of Quincy, go elsewhere, get!
May I never give up.
This one-man show with actor Andre Goodnight portrays Father Augustus Tolton, the first African-American Catholic priest. His moving story brings hope to our society that so desperately needs his message of reconciliation and hope. Come see Tolton, From Slave to Priest, on Thursday, November 9th, at Our Lady of Lourdes Church at 6:30 p.m. All right, friends, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. We're here this morning. Mark and I are talking to Andre Goodnight, the actor and city councilman and theological expert who will be playing Father Augustus Tolton in the play From Tolton, From Slave to Priest, which will be at Our Lady of Lourdes.
Indeed, November 9th.
November 9th at 6:30 p.m.
Yes.
So, Andre, let's get to talking a little bit about this. You're a one-man show, is that right?
That's correct.
And you've been rehearsing this since July. And this is a St. Luke production, and we know St. Luke productions are quality shows.
Yes, indeed.
We've had several of them come through Decatur. And I know playing Father Tolton must be an extremely personal thing to you. You have to become him, I would think, to do this production.
That's right. It's a process. And I know that originally it was a process that I was unprepared for at the time. time I was not anticipating auditioning for the play. I was in Orange County, California, going to Christ Cathedral, which used to be Crystal Cathedral, Robert Schumer's former church. It is now the headquarters of the Diocese of Orange.
Hey, you know, just an interesting thing there, Andre, that the bishop there at the Orange Diocese of Orange, California, was a pastor at Our Lady of Lourdes, where you will be performing in November.
That's interesting.
Bishop Van.
Yeah, Bishop,
absolutely.
Bishop Kevin Van, quite a guy.
Yep. So I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I did not know that. I know that I've met him a couple of times, and he is a very dear man. While at the cathedral after the Mass, I went out and I picked up a circular that they put out, and inside they had some information about St. Luke's production, and I went on the website and began to read about them, and then there was a link that said audition, and I clicked the link, and then boom, there was a picture of Father Augustus Tolton, and those eyes were just staring right at me, and it caught me unawares, and so I think my wife was asking me to do something at the time, so I got up and I left, but those eyes kept following me throughout the day, so I had to go back and explore, and I said, you know, I just got this urge, like, Andre, you need to audition. And I said, no, I don't think I really am. But you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll put God to the test. I'm ashamed to say. And I said, I need a sign, Lord. So I said, Lord, I need a priest caller. So I have a priest friend. And if he gives me a priest caller, that's your sign that you want me to audition. So I went up to this priest friend, and I said, you know, I'm thinking about doing something. I need a priest caller to do it. Would you happen to have one? And I was expecting for him to tell me no. No, I got one for you. Come up to the rectory right now. And gave me a priest collar right there. I know you need a shirt to wear the collar, so gave me a shirt and a collar.
Oh, for gosh sake.
Okay. Well, Lord, I get you answered.
Yeah, so, he answered that in a big way.
He did. So I auditioned, and the rest is history.
That is awesome. So, now you go and you start the rehearsals, and you start working on this play. I know to the concentration and the effort that goes into this is one thing, but the spirituality to put into it, to combine the two into one charismatic character, has got to take some unbelievable skills and concentration. Now, Father Tolton, we have done some studies, and we know that there, when he converted, obviously we know he was a slave. He got to Missouri and crossed into Quincy, where he became Catholic, he and his mother, and he had a very difficult time getting into the priesthood, didn't he, Andre?
He did. And it was a very deep challenge to his own faith and to his own desire to persevere. And I think when you look at his life as a whole, I think that's what you see in faith, is his desire given by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit to persevere. And I think on that note, it goes back to something you were saying earlier, just in regards to preparing for this role. It really does become an act of humility and a need and a call for a deeper prayer to be able to not only empty yourself, but to truly be open to who this character is and not come with any preconceived ideas or notions. It's really easy to fall into the trap of this is how I want the character to be or this is what I want to portray, as opposed to letting the character, in this case, Father Tolton, speak for himself. And so I think when you look at his life, I think you see just this openness to God. I'm going to keep moving forward despite the racism and prejudice that I'm facing both inside and outside the church. If you want me to keep going, I'll keep going. And it's a wonderful testimony to the universality of the church, because even though the American Catholic Church at the time may have gotten it wrong, it didn't mean that the entire church was wrong. It just Rome got it right. So I think that we can look at that, even though there may be error in one place, universal church is without error, and we can definitely see that in this situation with Father Tolton.
Absolutely. Now, you know, Father Tolton, Augustus, when he was a kid, had trouble in schools. He was bounced from school to school. He did finally find, through one of the bishops, a seminary that would accept him as a black, a former slave, and that was in Rome.
That's right. And so the idea was Father Peter McGurr, an Irish missionary priest, believed in him and was inspired, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to be an example of one who did not look at color or class or race as a means to say no, but to say yes to the Holy Spirit like our Blessed Mother did. And so he began to be Tolton's champion. Leonard Menenza. At the time, he was a prefect of the College of the Propaganda of the Faith. Accepted him. It was a college for missionaries in Rome, and they accepted him. And so I think it was a beautiful story because Father Fulton was envisioning he was going to be a missionary to Africa, and the Holy Father, through the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, said, no, America needs a colored priest.
Yeah.
If they haven't seen one yet, they're going to see one now. They're called the enlightened nation. Let's see how enlightened they are. And so that started him on the track of coming back home.
Andre, I want to go back to the mechanics of this role because I'm fascinated. How long does it take you to get into character?
You know, that's a question that you can't. That's a question that you really can't put a time frame on, because in a sense, I'm still getting into character. It's a process, as mentioned. You really have to be open. How long does it take to get to know somebody?
Yeah.
To truly get to know somebody,
right.
Is that something? You may know things about their lives and have a good picture. You may be able to pick them out in the crowd, but how long does it take to truly get to know somebody? You know, take your buddy Mike there. You know, you've known him for years. You've worked with him. How long did it take you to truly get to say you got to know him?
Right.
You know, maybe it was a conversation here that was unexpected, and maybe you guys took some time out to sit down and just talk, or maybe due to your work and your relationship, you guys had to depend upon each other in ways that you maybe did
right.
not think of previously. And all those things began to form a picture of who Mike was, and the same for them to you. And I think it's a similar process. It's mysterious in the sense of you really can't put your finger on it when you actually begin to feel like you know somebody. But at the same time, it's an ongoing thing, you know, because I truly believe that the saints are still alive. You know, our Lord says that he's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And so in that sense, I believe that Father Tolton is still alive.
Sure.
And so in that sense, there's a sense in which I am still getting to know him because he is living. And so in that sense, it's hard to answer that question.
Well, what's the most difficult part of the role for you?
You know, I think, truthfully, for me, it was the fact that when you look at his life, he didn't found a seminary. He didn't leave behind any religious work. He's not known for doing any miracles. He tried to build a church, but he didn't have the funds. And then shortly after his death, the church was demolished. So when you look at the reasons that we normally celebrate people as saints, either they found missionaries, or they found monasteries or seminaries, or they build churches or hospitals, or they do religious miracles and
right.
so forth. And so you could come away in one real sense, I know I did, say, this guy's a failure. Why aren't we celebrating him? He didn't do anything that we normally celebrate or think of the saints for. And bam, the second I said that, that's when the Holy Spirit slapped me upside the head and said, exactly, if you're thinking about things only materialistically, what
right.
he left behind in the material says, then yes, he would be a failure. But God doesn't look at what we leave behind. He doesn't look at the castles that we leave behind. He looks at the heart that built them.
That's
and
right.
If God's not calling you to build a castle, don't build one. So it's not a matter of leaving something behind physically for the sake of leaving something behind. It's a matter of following our Lord to whatever end. And sometimes, and in some ways, the Lord may not call you to leave anything behind, but he calls all of us to follow him. And I think that's exactly what Fulton did, Father Fulton did, is that he said, I'm going to follow you. And the fact that he didn't leave anything behind is actually a testament of his sanctity, not the lack thereof.
Yeah, you know, his perseverance in pursuing his career and the obstacles that he never really got over fighting obstacles in his vocation. Even after
right.
he was ordained, I was just in awe of him with all the opposition, with the racism, with the rejection, with the criticisms, and he
yeah.
just, he was like the Energizer Bunny. He just kept going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really touching story in that regard, that you would think that after all the difficulties and hardships he faced to become ordained, that once he became ordained, that those difficulties and those hardships would lessen in some degree, that maybe now he would have a fraternity of brothers with his fellow priests, that now he would have some